The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to PTI. Wilbon and I will get to the conference championship games in a bit, but we begin today with the sad news that Henry Aaron has passed away at age 86. Aaron is one of the greatest players in the history of baseball. His 715th home run in 1974 pushed him past Babe Ruth as the all-time home run king. Aaron accumulated more runs batted in, more extra base hits, and more total bases than any player ever. He has the third most hits as well. He played a total of 23 seasons, 21 with the Braves in Milwaukee and Atlanta, and his last two with the Milwaukee Brewers. Wilbon, you knew Hank Aaron. What are your immediate thoughts?
Well, Tony, my first thought was at the beginning. My father hated the Cubs. He's a Southside guy, a Bill Veeck guy. But I wanted to go to Wrigley Field. My brother and I wanted to go to Wrigley Field to see the Cubs the summer of 69 when they were having, to be ruined later, a magical summer. My father said, we go under one condition. We go see the Braves, we'll go see Henry Aaron. My father's a Georgia boy. So we went to see the Braves and Henry Aaron against the Cubs, and Henry Aaron hit a home run that day. I'll never forget it, because Wrigley Field was like eons away, 8 miles away from Comiskey, but it felt like light years. And I watched Henry Aaron like you did. We watched him from afar our whole lives. And he wasn't a childhood hero for me. He became an adult hero. Because of Jerry Reinsdorf, Bud Selig, first of all, and Jerry Reinsdorf and Frank Robinson, I got invited to the Civil Rights game. And that became an enormous deal for Major League Baseball, not just the game, but the events attendant to it. And because of that, I got to be seated with and hang around with Henry Aaron. And to hear him talk and to tell stories, and he knew my father was from Georgia, and he wanted to know what my father was like and what he conveyed to me, him being from Alabama. And what sticks with me to this day and will forevermore is Henry Aaron talking about, Bob Costas talked about this eloquently today, Henry Aaron looking up in the sky one day and telling his dad, I want to be a pilot. And his father saying, son, there ain't no black pilots. And Henry Aaron said, well, I want to be a big league. I want to be a big league ball player. And Henry Aaron's dad saying to him, Henry, there ain't any black big leaguers either. And he was 13 years old, I think Henry Aaron was, when Jackie Robinson broke in with the Dodgers. And his world just expanded, and he talked about that. And as I sat listening to him, and this is at Bud Selig's house one of these occasions, it just struck me that Henry Aaron was never bitter. I'm bitter every damn day. I'm a part of it. I'm bitter. I'm angry. Henry Aaron wasn't. And it was amazing. He never directed it. And we talked about that, the ability to control emotions and how he had to do that when he was coming up. And it just, I feel unbelievably lucky that through Bud Selig, he invited me. Sometimes he'd just be in their kitchen and Sue would, you know, probably want to throw us out, but she let us listen to Henry Aaron. And you know how close Bud Selig and Henry Aaron, they're the best of friends. And I feel for Bud Selig today, the people of Milwaukee, Charles Barkley, who idolized Henry Aaron being another son of Alabama. And it's just more awful, awful, awful news. But I idolize him as an adult, not as a child.
So I have read about all the terrible mail and death threats and hatred that poured out of people towards him when he was chasing Babe Ruth. You've read about it. I've read about it. I have read that he found it extraordinarily stressful, that chase. And I have felt that he was an American hero for the way he handled that he was the right person at the right time for that, in the same way that Jackie Robinson was the right person at the right time for integrating baseball. When I think immediately of Hank Aaron, I think of the video of 7:15. I think of him rounding second and rounding third and those kids running out and trying to pat him on the back. And I think that in the history of American sports, Mike, in the whole history of American sports, That is one of the most joyful, most memorable video clips that anyone can ever remember. And the second thing I think about with Hank Aaron is consistency. I never thought of him as a power hitter in the way that Reggie Jackson was a power hitter. You know, he didn't hit tape measure shots. He never even hit 50. But he went 40 or better 8 different times, including when he was 39 years old. And he went 30 or better 7 different times. So for 15 seasons, he was between 30 and 50 home runs. And that consistency and that durability is absolutely amazing. One small statistic, when he was 39 years old, Mike, he batted 301. He had 40 homers and 96 RBI, which is great. Great for 39. He only played in 120 games that year. Just 120 games. So he's one of the greats. I will just get personal for a second. I'm a New York boy. I rooted for Willie Mays. Willie Mays was my idol in all of sports. And because of that, I appreciated Mickey Mantle. These were these two great young phenoms in New York at the same time. They were fast. They had power. They were defenders. They were great. Hank Aaron, to me, was not Willie Mays and not Mickey Mantle. But at the end of it, Mike, at the end of it, he had a higher batting average. He had more home runs. He had more RBIs. He was greater in his way. He was.
You can make the argument. I always make it that Mays is the greatest player of all time because he missed 2 years in military service.
Service.
So he didn't have
service,
that.
Yeah.
But, Tony, I know you feel this way. I don't know if we've talked about it in years. Henry Aaron's the home run champ to us. Henry Aaron's the home run champ. 755 is the number.
That's it.
And I,
not 762. Nope.
No, I don't even know what the other numbers are. I don't know what Bonds ended up with. I don't care. Henry Aaron's the home run champ. And he is, like, I believe what you believe. He's an American hero. When I talked about no bitterness, I was referring to the chase of Ruth. And I know somewhere, I don't know that hate mail was incinerated. I don't know that anyone ever got rid of it. It might be piled somewhere. It might be sitting in bags by somebody's door. But I know that Henry Aaron could talk and talk flatly about it and maintain that dignity and that poise and that calm. Don't know where he got it. I mean, you know, it's partly developed, I'm sure, from the cauldron he grew up in and partly God-given. But he was just an extraordinary person. And I don't think of the home run. I don't. Maybe I've had enough personal moments in the last 10 years right here. Right here in the desert where Bud Selig lives. And to hear those conversations, they've replaced action shots and uniforms and jerseys for me.
So what I remember is when the National League, in the 50s and the 60s, when I came to appreciate baseball and love baseball, the National League dominated the American League. And I think it's because they chased Black and Latin players harder than the American League. And I think Jackie Robinson played in Brooklyn, a National League team, maybe these people were more inclined to go play in the National League. But every year at the All-Star Game, the National League outfield was always the same. You could write it in January, and it was going to happen in the middle of July. It was Aaron, Mays, Clemente. And I used to think to myself, that's the greatest, even for one game, even for 4 innings, it's the greatest of all time. All right? Yeah. So anyway, one small little thing. My grandson is named Henry. I always call him Bad Henry or the Hammer. And everybody over 50 in America knows exactly who you're talking about when you say Bad Henry. Let's take a break. Coming up, now that Patrick Mahomes has been cleared, what are the Bills' chances to upset the champs?
And the Buccaneers put a beat down on the Packers back in week 6. But what do we expect from them on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't think it's
Bad
a week
Henry.
6 situation. Hang on.
Henry, right? I don't think it's going to be that.
More headlines, starting with Sunday's conference championship games. Patrick Mahomes says he is out of the concussion protocol and he has been cleared to play. So with that development, Wilbon, what sort of a chance are you giving the Bills to upset the defending champions?
I mean, even with a completely healthy Patrick Mahomes, I'm still giving the Bills, I don't know, a 40% chance. I don't think this is going to be some runaway blowout thing. The Bills are good. And the other thing, Tony, okay, so he's been cleared. His head's been cleared to be out there with a helmet on and be in the game. What about his foot? I mean, people have said nary a word about the toe, I think on his left foot, which is the plant foot if you're throwing, or the plant foot if you're leaning off to run right, which he often does, getting out of bounds or down that right sideline. So I don't know how healthy Patrick Mahomes is. Is he 100%? Is he 80%? Is he 60%? Is he going to be Hop-Along Cassidy? What's the deal? But I still give Buffalo, regardless of it, I give Buffalo a shot, yes, at winning this game.
Yeah, so, I mean, the narrative is all about Mahomes. Would he play at all? Now you find he's going to play. How well will he play? Will he finish the game? I think if Patrick Mahomes is out there for 60 minutes and he's even 80% of Patrick Mahomes, I think that the Chiefs are good enough to win. I look at the Bills. They're a wonderful story. I don't know what their offense is. I don't know how they score. Stephon Diggs gets them into the end zone. I don't know what else they necessarily do. They've got a great defense. They shredded Lamar Jackson. But Patrick Mahomes is different than Lamar Jackson. He throws a lot better, and he's got, you know, Hill and Kelce
weapons
to throw
weapons,
to.
Baby.
And maybe Edwards-Helaire is going to play. So, I mean, I just, Mike, I think there's more offense there for Kansas City. I even toyed with the notion if Chad Henne played that they could still win. It's not that I don't love Buffalo. I just don't know how they score. I don't know how they score.
I don't think they have to. I know people are predicting a shootout. People are saying, oh, you know, in dry circumstances, it's going to be 38-35. I don't know that.
No.
I don't know that.
No.
I think Buffalo has got enough on both sides of the ball to keep this thing close, keep it close. They have to steal it. Kansas City's better. Kansas City's a better team. Kansas City's defending champion, all that. But I'm expecting a real game. Sunday's early game features Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, of course, meeting in the playoffs for the very first time. They matched up in Tampa in week 6 with the Buccaneers rolling 38-10. But the Packers haven't lost in 2 months, and this one is in Green Bay in Lambeau, which expects 2 to 4 inches of overnight snow Saturday into Sunday. Tone, which way you leaning?
I mean, I just want to start by saying that if Tampa wins this game, Tom Brady is going to his 10th Super Bowl. This is an unbelievable number. He's 43 years old, and he would take a team to the Super Bowl, and it would be his 10th. All right. The way I look at the game is that week 6 game is important because Aaron Rodgers was bad in that game. He had 2 interceptions. He was sacked 4 times. It was his worst game of the year. New Orleans tried to beat Tampa for 3 straight times,
and they weren't able to do it.
So I don't think that even 38 points in a row being down 10-0, I don't think that works now. I don't think it works now. The way I'm sitting here, I lean towards Green Bay, Mike. I think that Aaron Rodgers is absolutely at the top of his profession, and I think they've got enough running and passing. I lean towards Green Bay.
Yeah, I wonder if Tampa's defense can play as well in Lambeau as it did last week in the Superdome. I mean, that's what I wonder about. That defense was great. No. The linebackers and the third level of defense, the safeties and corners, that they were spectacular. Are they going to play that way again? And I think that Rodgers will be better than Drew Brees was in that game. And like you, Tony, I think the biggest advantage Green Bay has is knowing how they got their butts whipped 38-10 in week 6. And, the question is Tampa – I don't think that Tampa with Tom Brady on that sideline – will be as arrogant as I thought the Saints were coming in with 2 straight wins. I don't think that Tampa will make that mistake, but it's still an advantage for Green Bay in my book. So like you, I am leaning toward Green Bay, realizing that any picking against Tom Brady, just blasphemy. It's nuts.
And I will say this. I think Antonio Brown has been ruled out, and that makes it a little bit more difficult for Tampa. If there's going to be a shootout, I believe this is going to be the shootout. And it seems reasonable to me, Mike, that if there's one great late defensive stand by either team, that could be the game winner. That could be the game winner right
could
there.
Be.
You know, let us take one last break. Still to come, one of Brooklyn's big 3 won't play tonight in the Nets rematch with the Cavs.
Oh, that must be planned. It can't be what happened last week. And is it time for people like Anthony Kornheiser to start taking the Jazz seriously?
But not in January. And I like them. I like them, but not in January.
Yeah.
We don't use the word seriously in January for basketball.
You only got three more football games left. You got to start watching something else.
I will when those games are over. Happy time, people. Happy 85th birthday tomorrow to Jerry Kramer. History lesson, kids. One of the most revered NFL games of all time was the Ice Bowl. It was Green Bay against Dallas and Lambeau for the NFC Championship in 1967. It was below zero, and the Packers had the ball on the Dallas 2-foot line with 16 seconds to play, down 17-14. Jerry Kramer, the Packers' right guard, plowed some Cowboys back into the end zone, and Bart Starr snuck in behind Kramer for the winning touchdown and a berth in Super Bowl II, where the Packers would beat the Raiders. While he was still a player, Kramer wrote a book with Dick Schaap about the life of an offensive lineman called Instant Replay that became a number one bestseller. Many years later, they collaborated on a sequel, Distant Replay. Kramer was voted the best guard of the NFL's first 50 years, and yet it took him until 2018 to be voted into the Hall of Fame, becoming the 11th Packer from those Lombardi teams to get in. On a personal note, I have had dinners with Jerry Kramer, and it was an honor.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tony, I was at those dinners. I was young, man. I was in my 20s, but Jerry Kramer, who's a better storyteller than Jerry Kramer? And Fuzzy Thurston would be there, and Willie Davis would be there, and Paul Hornung would be there. I grew up hating the Packers. And at the end of these dinners with Dick Schaap, he'd say, "How you like that, Bear fan?" I was like, "Oh my God, this is incredible." Tony, you can hear this. A seal here and a seal here, and you run it up the alley. One of those seals was Jerry Kramer.
Absolutely. Dick Schaap put together great dinners. Happy anniversary, Johnny Unitas. This is posthumous, but on this day 48 years ago, after 17 seasons with the Baltimore Colts, Johnny U was traded to the San Diego Chargers for the draft rights to Burt Jones, a quarterback. At the time, Unitas was the NFL career leader in passing yards and touchdowns, but he was also 40 years old. Unitas started the first four games of the 1973 season for the Chargers. But after those games, he had seven interceptions, and the team was 1-3. So Unitas was benched in favor of a rookie named Dan Fouts. Unitas retired after that season, and Fouts went on to a Hall of Fame career with the Chargers. But let us not dismiss Unitas lightly. For fans of a certain age, he is the greatest quarterback ever. In his black high tops and his crew cut, Unitas was everything a quarterback was supposed to be. It is not an accident that Johnny Unitas was the winning quarterback in what is now called the greatest game ever played, Baltimore's overtime 1958 NFL championship over the Giants.
Man, Tony, why did I think that Lance Rinsel wore 19 for the Chargers? I must have that entirely wrong. Let me just say that a couple of years later, Tony, 1977, your fave, Joe Willie Namath, left the Jets, signed with the Rams, and that went about as well as Unitas in San Diego, which is to say, nope.
Here's what I remember with Namath. It's simple as that, and he's wearing green and white. Happy trails, Draymond Green, the irascible Warriors forward, was ejected in the second quarter of last night's loss to the Knicks for yelling at a referee. Or so the referee who teed Green up thought. In fact, Green was yelling at his teammate, rookie James Wiseman, whom Green has been riding all year for messing up a play. Referee John Butler mistakenly assumed Green was barking at him. After the game, crew chief Ben Taylor went to Steve Kerr and conceded the mistake. Had it been Green's first technical of the game, he would have stayed in. But as usual, Green already had a technical, which he got 4 minutes into the game for arguing a little too long, a little too loud. At the time of the second technical, Kerr and others tried to explain Green wasn't yelling at the referee, but referees quickly get sick of Green. The official cause of the second technical was, and I quote, profanity that was deemed to be directed at the official, unquote. In other words, the standard Draymond Green tech.
They could have gotten that right in real time. I turned that game off when Draymond Green got thrown out. It was like a 5-point game. This is stupid. Just get it right. That's why there's replay, to get it right. I don't want to hear they apologize to Steve Kerr after the game. Get the damn thing right in real time. Leave Draymond Green in the game. And the Knicks are playing pretty well, by the way, Tom. Tibbs has got them going well. You may have to tune back in and get on one of your New York bandwagons. But Draymond Green should not have been thrown out. That's embarrassing.
Let me go back to this for a second. He got the first technical 4 minutes in. Maybe if he hadn't gotten that one, there wouldn't be this
problem.
You
get two. Get it right. You get two, not one.
But he likes to get the first one early. One clarification, Lance Allworth also wore 19 for the Chargers. Lance Rinsel wore it for the Cowboys.
And one omission. I meant Allworth.
Matt Patricia is reportedly rejoining the Patriots as an unspecified assistant coach. And we go to the big finish.
I meant Allworth.
The Washington football team hired Martin Mayhew as GM and Marty Herney as executive vice president of football and player personnel. Your thoughts?
That's a great combination. Martin Mayhew, such a bright guy. He went to law school while he was playing for the Washington football team back then under another name. The NFL says there will be 22,000 fans at the Super Bowl. I don't believe that. What do you think, Tony?
First of all, with Washington, if you yell Marty, you just get a bunch of GMs to turn around. Look, there's 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers. That's good. But this Florida.
That's good.
It's in Florida. Florida
that's
makes
good.
Its own
yep.
rules.
They'll have 40,000.
The Jazz beat the Pelicans for their seventh straight win. Is that a big deal?
No, but it's a nice little winter run for the Jazz right now. Very good. The Lakers beat the Bucks in Milwaukee. Significant?
Nothing significant in January, but there ain't no on the road. That's significant. Last one, Kevin Durant will not play tonight against the Cavs. Is that a smart move?
Yes, he played 50 the other night. He got back-to-backs coming. You monitor Kevin Durant coming off the most serious injury. Yes, monitor.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.